This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium waiting Boomer Esiason, who will join us at 8 on This Week in the NFL, and Gerard Mayo, who will be with us at about 9:20 this morning. Before that, at 7:20, so 15 minutes away, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend, and we will certainly go over what Teddy Bruschi said he does not want to see when it comes to Bill Belichick coaching in college. This, before we get to the rest of the leads, this is Jackie. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, Curtis, I always appreciate your forecast, but you've got that a little wrong this morning, my friend. I just drove 30 miles in Rhode Island, and it's pretty bad. We have lots of ice, and I would have been more than happy to see a standing truck before I got here.
I was on 95 this morning. See? There wasn't ice anywhere.
See, our very own Grinch doesn't care about anybody but himself.
Well, was I saying I was driving in Rhode Island?
No,
but I mean, I can't
be a cop. We're pretty close.
It's probably snowing in Maine right now. We're on up there. Should I get the sander to go up there?
Jackie, thank you. I for one care. Jackie, so there's snow and ice in Rhode Island. Hmm. Are we going to have a white Christmas?
My latest modeling, there was a Alberta Clipper that just went way north.
Oh, it
so
did?
We were hoping there'd be a trough come down, but
it's not happening.
The high pressure is really going to get locked in over the northeast here.
God, that's so
but good drone weather.
Yeah, so. Great drone weather.
Clear.
All right, Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I had two leads, but I'm going to go with this one because I think it's just a little bit more interesting, seeing that we were talking about it a little bit. Is I think we're starting to see the transition of power between Robert and Jonathan Kraft, where it looks like it could be heading more to Jonathan Kraft as the decision maker for this football team kind of moving forward. And maybe that they might not always be on the same page in the past, but I don't know if Jonathan maybe had enough of the power yet to sway his dad in the direction that he wants to go. So when you think about Mayo potentially being a one-and-done guy, I think that that's something now that could be a real possibility, because I don't know if Robert and Jonathan were initially on the same page when it came to Mayo
the guy.
The successor to Bill.
Because Robert identified him 5 years ago as the guy. And you're not sure that Jonathan was on board with that.
Yeah, so, and I, you know, as you start to see the more and more, they're starting to look like kind of like the Joneses as owners, in the sense where they're the reason why they moved on from Bill is because they wanted to be more involved. And when you see Jonathan, what we don't know, whether it's a play sheet, a roster, halftime stats, you know, a stat sheet, we don't know, but clearly he wants to be more of a hands-on type of owner on the football stuff.
It's like the age-old question, how much should an owner be involved? It's their it's their billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
So
I don't have no problem when an owner's hands on.
You know what the funny thing with this whole dynamic has been with Bill gone and Robert and Jonathan here with this team is that both were right. Bill Belichick had too much power, as shown by the rest of the NFL not being willing to give it to him. And Bill was spot on that Jonathan wanted to be more involved than he shouldn't be. Like, yeah. It's pretty interesting how both sides were correct. Bill was right to believe that this ownership group was frustrated and was trying to meddle in ways they weren't adequately ready for. And Jonathan and Robert were right that Bill had too much power.
I mean, if you were going to look at an ownership group that does it right and stays out of it, would you pick the Hunts and
yeah,
the,
but it's really simple. Your ownership group looks brilliant if you have a historically great quarterback. I hate to be that pathetic, yeah. But like,
That's the only.
I mean, I don't think the Pegulas woke up brilliant. They have Josh Allen. Like, I don't think that the Biscotti family with the Ravens is, you know, next level. They have Lamar Jackson.
But isn't it really more about what you like as a fan? Because I can go either way. I got no issues when the owner's not involved, similar to what we see like with John Henry. And I got no issues with like what Jerry Jones is doing with his organization.
But it worked when our owners were not involved.
Right,
like,
but
yes, we could say, well, we had a great quarterback.
We had a great head coach.
But it worked then. So why are they trying to change that model now?
I guess because maybe they feel like they want to be more. Maybe Jonathan wants to be more involved as somebody who's an owner. I mean, you know, the Dallas Mavericks were able to win an NBA championship with an owner that's involved. The Celtics were able to win a championship with an owner that's a little bit more involved. Didn't he go into the locker room and, you know, basically say, hey, how the hell you guys playing?
Yeah.
So you're able to do it either way. I think it's more as a fan what rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also if you're not giving, in the case of Gerard Mayo, you're not giving him the leeway that he should have as the head coach when it comes to the operation, then I think it becomes a problem organizationally.
Yeah.
You know, you hire who you hope is the most talented person and let them run the business. I mean, that's the way it works.
Right. You need to find the right person, and you need to find the right multiple people. Because to be candid, Bill was at his best when he had Pioli and when he had Caserio, and he had a very talented roster guy, whereas you check out the last 4 years of drafting, it's been abysmal. And so you do need to find, like, they have Veach, whatever his name is, with the Chiefs.
Veach
is the GM. You have Andy Reid, who just coaches. I think after your mid-60s, you probably should just coach.
But isn't it about the relationship that they had? Because remember, the relationship with Pioli and those other guys with Nick Casera were guys that were loyal to Bill. And were like, if Bill was like, okay, I don't like that guy, they would be like, all right, rather than maybe.
But I do think that Pioli, at least, would then, if Bill disagreed, he would just put his tail between his legs. He'd be like, maybe this is why. You know, there was at least some back and forth, I think. It wasn't just like Lombardi doing his bidding.
Yeah.
But if Robert trusted that Gerard Mayo was the guy 5 years ago, don't you think in those 5 years he should have been able to put people around Gerard that he wanted? Like, if you're so all in on one guy, then you should be able to trust in the fact that he wants certain people around him.
I think Robert Kraft said what he thought sounded good in the moment. I don't think he actually thought he would be the guy 5 years ago. I think he was trying to take a premature victory lap and talk to the people that were about to vote for his candidacy for the Hall of Fame that he was prescient in finding this
guy. But he was doing certain things that made it look like it was pointing towards Gerard Mayo.
Well, in the last couple of years, yeah. Like, I think he panicked a little bit, like he was going to lose. They were going to lose Gerard Mayo. I mean, they were willing to put it in his contract that he's the heir to the throne,
right,
when he had no, you know, he wasn't holding an offer to be a head coach in front of them, Curtis, and saying, you know, I'm leaving if I don't get this. They wanted to do that on their own.
It was just the interviews. Because remember, we battled over this. Well, not battled, but we had conversations about people like, oh, Gerard's the guy. You don't want him to go, because I think Carolina interviewed him. And there was a point in time where people were on board. We're like, hey, it needs to be Gerard. It needs to be Gerard. It was like he was getting all the accolades just for the interviews and, you know, some of those things.
This is Mark. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Courtney, good morning. Curtis, Courtney, go Eagles.
All right.
Curtis, couple things. What about organizations like San Francisco and Pittsburgh? They don't luck into a quarterback. They build a program. They build a structure. They go with it, and they have success almost year in and year out. So, no, what you said isn't true. It's not all about just finding the quarterback.
How many Super Bowls have the 49ers won in the last 30 years?
How many times have they been there? I mean, what are you
looking
for?
That's not the question I asked. I said, how many Super Bowls have they won in the last 30 years?
Oh, my God. You're going to make this about just lucking into a quarterback. I mean, it's a lot more than that.
Well, if it's about organizational stability, they would have won a Super Bowl in the last 30 years.
So what about Pittsburgh? They're competitive every year. They're 10-3 or 11-3 with a backup quarterback, basically. It's more
right.
about ownership.
And they haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
I think it's ownership wanting to. And now, let me help you out here. I think it's ownership wanting to step in and help out. Like, because the Rams were able to win without that quarterback. The Eagles were able to win without, obviously, the best quarterback. So I think but they were willing as an ownership group to put pieces in place, whether that was going out, and I think the Rams traded for Jalen Ramsey, you know, paying Aaron Donald a ton of money. So, you know, you look at, yeah, I get it, the Patriots.
Well, the Rams won because they gave up a haul for Matthew Stafford.
Right, but the ownership has to be willing to do that. And like, Matthew Stafford wasn't considered, I wouldn't put him on the Brady quarterback
but
level.
But the Rams are a great example. They got to a Super Bowl.
Because the ownership was willing to say, you know what? We'll give up a ton to maybe get a guy that we feel like we need at the quarterback position.
Right, but my point is that unless you have a quarterback, so the Rams got there, they lost, and then they said Jared Goff isn't enough, so they gave up a haul to get Matthew Stafford, right. And they won a Super Bowl. And so in consecutive years, you had Brady who left, went to a new team, they won. Stafford with the Rams wins his. You have Mahomes who's been with the Chiefs. I mean,
wouldn't put Stafford in the same area as Brady and Mahomes.
Well, no, not talent wise, but right. He was the difference. He was a better quarterback for that team, and that's what they realized they needed.
It doesn't have to be a Mahomes, though. I mean, there's
no,
you know, give me an example from the Lions. I mean, you can have a manageable,
right.
Like a quarterback.
Jared Goff.
Who's a little above average,
right.
and still be there.
Right. There are ways you can get there. You can have excellent people all around the quarterback, or you can have an all-time great quarterback that makes people elevated from good to great.
Like the Eagles want to win Nick Folk, you know?
All
right. Foles, whatever.
Yeah. We got to get to
with
Courtney.
An asterisk.
I will share my, because Curtis and I tag teamed on the drone lead this morning. Anyway, I will share my audio from the Cape over the weekend when we get to the news.
Yes,
at 8:20 this morning. They said it coming up next. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this morning?
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Patriots fall in Arizona 30-17, falling to 3-11 on the season. Drake completed 19 of 23 passes for 202 yards. He had a rushing touchdown and an interception in this one. It's the fourth straight loss for the Pats, and New England's D has allowed 25 or more points for the fourth straight game. Now, there was a comment made by Gerard after the loss that have some scratching their heads this morning. He was asked if he ever considered having Drake take the ball himself on fourth down for a little QB sneak. Here's what he had to say.
Running Drake in that situation, it's a short yard situation. You know, he can run.
That's, you said it, I didn't.
Oy.
So we'll be able to ask Gerard about that and so much more in the 9 o'clock hour on this Patriots Monday. Monday Night Football has two games tonight. The Bears take on the Vikings at 8, while the Falcons take on the Raiders at 8:30. The Celtics, however, got a win in Washington last night, 112-98, the final. Jason Tatum led the way with a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis exited the game in the second quarter, did not return in the second half due to a right heel pain. After the game, Porzingis said he didn't think it was anything major. And how about this? Freddie Freeman, a walk-off grand slam ball from Game 1 of the 2024 World Series, has sold for $1.56 million. It's the third most expensive baseball ever sold.
Inflation.
And give the perfect gift this year. 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus gift card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
It is 32 degrees in Boston right now. Afternoon high 43.
Well, Courtney is back after what turned out to be a very traumatic experience on jury duty.
Yeah.
I find myself shocked that you were so looking forward to it, and it created massive amounts of anxiety for you.
Anxiety and just sadness. Like, I didn't leave thinking, wow, like, I did something great. I left just with just this feeling of sadness. That's the only way I can put it.
I mean, it's not your fault.
We talk about kids all the time and younger people that are finding themselves in bad situations. And I don't know what the right answer is, but I just hope that people get the help they need.
I can't believe you never want to serve on a jury.
Never.
That was one of your dreams. It was on your bucket list.
Yeah, I never, ever, ever want
to. Imagine if you were in a high-profile case like the ones that you love.
Imagine
if you were in the Koberger case.
Is that ever going to happen, by the way?
I don't know.
It keeps getting delayed. But even like the Luigi case, whenever that comes to trial.
Elizabeth Warren's favorite person?
Yeah. Karen Reed's second case.
Yes, but I just don't know how. And it's so crazy to sit in a room with 11 other jurors and realize you just have such differing of opinions on everything.
Did you get along with everybody on the jury?
Mostly.
Did you have the nicest bag?
I didn't check out everybody's
bags. Who did you get along with?
There was just one that was so adamant on going against this defendant, and it was
from the start
and was really being rude in the way in which she spoke to others.
She was trying to take control. And
I would say almost everybody else was so respectful in the way that you dealt with each other.
She was the alpha,
and she was really, she would just talk, she talked down. It seemed very condescending every time she spoke. And then when, you know, the verdict was read, she starts crying in the courtroom.
What a fraud!
I'm like, am I living in the Twilight Zone? Like, it was, this impacted you so much after you were, like, kind of yelling at me, 20 minutes ago.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Is there a lot of conversation going on, like, debate in there?
There's
like,
none until you start deliberating.
Right, when you start deliberating, can you, like, really see how different people see the world?
Yes.
And was there a lot of debate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And people bring different life experiences in, and that's why they make up a jury of 12. But
yeah. Well, we're glad you're back.
I am so happy to be back.
We are glad you're back.
It's
a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and Boomer Esiason coming up in a half an hour on the current state of the New England Patriots and the NFL this week. All of that with Boomer at 8. But right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, good morning. Let's start with what Teddy Bruschi had to say about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, by the way, very lucky today in this neck of the woods, thanks to a horrible Patriots loss. We can't talk about the desperation that is clearly seeping from his pores.
Well, we can. I'm assuming that you are referencing the Diana Russini report that he apparently called the Jets looking for a job.
Yes, he did. And then it was confirmed by multiple people. And then followed up by Jonathan Jones of CBS said he specifically called Mike Tannenbaum, who works for the 33rd team, who's conducting the search for the next GM job. And Tannenbaum's like, yeah, I'll set you up with Woody Johnson. And then next thing you know, Bill's like, nope, I'm going to go take the UNC job.
Was he using his own voice, or was he like using a different voice?
So can we finally and at last say this is what he wanted?
I mean, what, to coach in the NFL?
UNC.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's the only place that he could get full control. And there wasn't interest. Curtis, there was not interest in the NFL. I understand that, and I acknowledge that. It's weird to me, but I don't think
he's holding out hope, though, because in the contract, the specifics that came out, he has like a buyout.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So,
$1 million, Greg told us about. A million, or then Shime disputed it.
Well, it's $10 million for the first six or 7 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's $1 million. He can get out of there. But yeah, I mean, I wonder if he was like disguising his voice when he called and saying like, Bill Belichick is still available. I don't know if anybody down there has thought of calling him. He might be interested in a job. Hang up.
I wonder why he would call. Like, that's Lombardi's job description.
Right,
like,
right. And it should be Matt Patricia's job description.
Shime had a great point, I think it was during the break, about when Lombardi referenced the son of the owner dealing in analytics. I thought he was referencing the Jaguars and Shad Khan's son, because that's what he does. But Shime theorized maybe it was the note taker in the suite that Jonathan Kraft is the analytics guy. We know he speaks at the Sloan Convention or conference every year at MIT.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a shot at Jonathan.
That may be who he was referencing. I mean, Wiggy was on this early this morning, but Wiggy's analyzing what Jonathan Kraft is taking notes on in the suite yesterday, and seems like it could be the roster, could be the
call sheet, could be like the first quarter halftime stats. I don't, you know, clearly there's more involvement into the football on field product with the ownership than when we might have seen in years back. And we know that because Mayo sat here and talked about how he meets with Robert Kraft about just their football fans and football stuff.
Well, every week after every game. All right, anyway, Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi talked about Bill Belichick coaching at UNC. Here is what Bruschi said this weekend.
What are we doing here? I mean, with Bill Belichick going to coach North Carolina, I mean, college football, there's only one bowl game I want to see Bill Belichick coaching, and that's the Super Bowl. Okay, I don't want to see him coaching some lawnmower bowl in December or January. I mean, that's just not who I am. I mean, this is a guy around this table so many times about poorly coached football teams, okay? And the NFL just let the best go. I don't know how there wouldn't be any interest as to where you bring a Belichick in and he makes you come immediately relevant and well coached by who he is. Would he make one of these teams that needed a head coach this year an immediate contender? I mean, yes, he would. He is that good. Now, he's not going to be on the level of six championships, New England Patriots, or anything like that, but your team would be competent from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, there was a piece in The Athletic over the weekend, Curtis, which really talked about that whole control thing and about how there were just, it seemed like most owners, most GMs, whatever, were reluctant to give him anything other than a role as head coach. So,
but that's the new league. Like, right, that's the kind of the new league of, you know, and everything is kind of off. When I played, there were more head coaches that had their hands in more things than they do now. Like, even what when we played, they said it with Bill Parcells, who was here in 96, when he said they want you to cook the dinner, but at least they let you shop for the groceries. There were more coaches back then who said, okay, if you want me to coach, I need to have my hand in everything. Now, the way the league has kind of moved in a direction, the owners, they want to be able to say, we have a hand in some of it, and we're going to separate the coach from who maybe the decision maker might be when it comes to personnel. And Bill is not built that way.
I don't think that there were many coaches who were able to leverage themselves into the spot that Bill was, where they had total control of the whole entire organization.
Right.
Like, I don't.
And that works too.
Parcells had a lot of control. But when I played for Parcells, he had a lot of control.
But that works. It relies upon trust between the owner and the one in control, where they don't have to worry about cronies being hired or not communicating with your offensive coordinator for multiple weeks or not talking to your coach. Obviously, Bill Belichick is a much better coach than Gerard Mayo, and obviously he's a better football mind than Bob or Jonathan Kraft. It's that this organization was listless. Bill was checked out because the owner was meddling in ways that were not supposed to be allowed in his contract. And Robert was mad that Bill wasn't doing what he asked him to do. He wasn't debriefing. He wasn't wearing the lapel pin. He wasn't winning. And that's where that ended. I don't think it'll never happen again. I just think that if you're 73, You're asking for total control of an organization.
And you're only there for like 3 or 4 years.
And they're looking at what the Patriots look like right now when you were in total control for the last 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
They say, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, they ain't giving that up.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, over the weekend as well, the Heisman Trophy was presented to Travis Hunter of Colorado. And his speech after receiving the award was excellent. Here was a portion of that where he talked about his father. Here was Travis Hunter.
And I want to say something to my father. He's not here to be able to make it, but I know you're watching on TV. Dad, I love you. All the stuff you went through, man. I look at your older son. I did this for you, man. All the times that you didn't get to see me. When the time you came to see my games, from not seeing probably 2 games in high school to seeing me on TV every weekend and coming to see me, man. That means so much to me. I know you wanted to be here and you can't. But trust me, I got you. I'm bringing the trophy home. I love you.
Now, did his fiance yell at him because he mentioned his father and not her first?
No.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
She's nuts.
They were dragging Travis for the father situation, too.
What?
Because they're like, because there's a video of the dad watching it.
I just sent it to Mitch.
They're like, where is the dad that he can't be there?
Well, right? You have no idea what's
I know, but I'm just telling you what how people are in the in the world of social media. They're like, where is he that he can't be at this?
Well, I mean, honestly, with Wiggy, like if your son is winning the Heisman Trophy,
right? Unless
it would
you're
have
locked
to
up.
Be like. Yeah, penitentiary or, you know, bubonic plague.
It doesn't look like he's locked up.
Right.
This is the video, if you're watching on Twitch, of his dad watching Hunter's speech.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, so, and I think a lot of people are like, where's the dad? Like, why are you not there? Or, you know...
Maybe there's a health situation. Like, there's a million
I'm not saying there... all I'm saying is that's the world... Like, you asked, like, well, this is the world we live in. Here's a, you know, a speech, a great speech from
I mean,
from
it's
a
your son's biggest day of his life.
Yeah, and that's... There's going to be that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe I... You know, if I were Travis's dad, I'd be like, here's why I wasn't able to travel. I'm...
And
sick
it can't be some crazy illness. He's around a million people, so he's not making them sick.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, next, we saw last week there be some, it seemed like there was some drama between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Wiggy had even suggested, oh, maybe the Patriots can go acquire A.J. Brown. Well, yesterday, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown laid the hammer on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jalen Hurts threw for 290 yards, and this is how he began his press conference yesterday.
So that's what y'all wanted to see, huh?
Jalen, you said you'll figure this out. Is that what we saw tonight?
We found a way to win the game.
I mean, they are peaking at the right time.
Yeah, but there's a lot of trouble over there.
But it doesn't seem to affect them on the football field.
No, but there's certainly. Did you see the head coach and the D-line coach basically in each other's faces? You know, look like they were ready to come to blows. And then you have the A.J. Brown and the Jalen Hurts. Yes, you won a football game against a good football team. But there are things, and we talk about it here all the time with the head coach, and just the presence in the locker room and the relationship between players and head coaches and players. There's a lot of stuff going on in Philly. If I'm a Philly fan, I'm like, what are they, 11-3?
11-2.
11-2, and there's all this kind of like dysfunction going on. What's the problem?
I don't think this is dysfunction, Wiggy. I think this is just how they operate. Like, it's just very chaotic. And it may look like dysfunction to us on the outside, but for them, it's like controlled chaos. It is just
But when you got the head coach and the D-line coach basically almost, you know, coming to blows, that's controlled chaos?
I think so. I mean, dude, this team is like running on all cylinders. Everything is working. And it's even though like A.J. Brown makes a comment about the passing game and then two receivers have over 100 yards in the next game. It's just everything they want to do works.
I want to tell you right now, the Eagles are not winning the Super Bowl. And I that's the thing that bothers me, because I want Bill in the NFL. If he would have been willing to give up power, if Sirianni loses, that is ready-made for a guy like Bill to enter that locker room, who will command respect. Sirianni's out there, you know, having a family reunion at the press conference. You have Bill in there. His kids just work for him, not at this dais. And it would be what an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, rather than be coaching against, you know, Georgia Southern.
Also, Shime, correct me if I'm wrong, the Steelers have not won in Philadelphia since like 1965 or something.
I believe they're like 0-9 or something in their last 9 games in Philly. or something. I'm not sure the exact number, but yes, it has been quite a while since they last won in Philadelphia.
I've been to Philly twice. Both times it felt like I lost. What an absolute
Yeah, the city stinks, but this football team is really, really good.
It is kind of cool, though, the way they have all the stadiums in that one area.
Yeah. Want some Wooter?
It's
the Rocky Steps, very right. cool.
Your biggest celebrity is a made-up character.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. You just, you know, everybody goes to the same place for all the games.
Oh, right. That's cool. Infrastructure is a foreign word to us.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Chime?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay. All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. We will get to Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And then the news with Courtney at 8:20, and the 12 days of Chris Curtismas continues at 8:45 this morning. Curtis is regifting all holiday season long, so make sure you're here, and you could be a winner at 8:45. Boomer Esiason coming up in 15 minutes at 8 on the current state of the New England Patriots and this week in the NFL. And then the 12 days of Chris Curtismas at 8:45. Courtney's back from jury duty finally. Not now because I got to go to the phone, but the maybe now. Wiggy has been anxiously awaiting the GHS wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Which we should get to just wrap up the year on who ends up being the king of flex time on the show. Or queen of flex time. This is Rodney from Swampscott. Hey, Rodney.
Rodney just dropped off.
Oh, Chip. Was Chip still there?
He sure is.
Chip, good morning.
Good morning. I just had to acknowledge Chris Curtis for a second and congratulate him on. Seems like his heart is softening towards Bill Belichick a little bit. I'm not sure if was it a round table? Did the radio Fauci, Mr. what's his name, Ken? Did Ken get to you or something? Because it's Chris. To me, it's very obvious that you are looking for opportunities to say, "Oh, well, Philadelphia would have been a perfect landing spot for Mr. Belichick."
Well, I said that before, actually, before this. I said that we had this conversation a million times. I said Buffalo. Was that 2 weeks ago when they screwed up the end of the game?
Mm-hmm.
I said he should go to Buffalo. I said he should go to Philadelphia. We've talked about it ad nauseum.
You're so good that you have backups ready when someone calls you out. You have backups ready to bring up.
Well, it's not a backup. It's a correcting of the record that you're saying I'm doing this now like I hadn't done it before, and I had.
Has someone approached you with have they instructed you to back off on Belichick a little bit? Because it appears like you're doing so.
The ratings of this morning show have never been better. It has nothing to do with somebody telling me what to say.
Oh,
I literally said that when Bill was looking for a job, that the Bills and the Eagles would be slam dunks.
Curtis is never – he's always going to detest Bill Belichick.
Right. I think Bill detests himself.
So thank you. But it is amazing that he's not going to coach in the NFL ever.
Yeah.
Stunning.
The most shocking development I can remember in recent memory.
In sports.
In sports. The drones, more shocking. Yeah. But this, yes. Yeah.
But I get it, though. I get it. Because I think there was – I think that, you know, I know people don't want to believe it, but I think that the, you know, Crafts, hey, they gave their honest opinion when it came to working with Bill Belichick to other owners. And I think other owners, A, didn't want to work with a guy that might be a hard ass and an a-hole, and B, they didn't want to work with a guy that they had to give up full power to. They had to give him full power. And I think a lot of these owners today said, we don't want to go in that direction. We want the Ben Johnson, the Bobby Slowicks of the world, who basically come in here and keep their mouth shut.
But that is shocking to me. Like, you win immediately with Bill, I think.
Well, you didn't last year.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's so.
But they don't think that he, they probably think that he's the greatest coach of all time, but they probably don't think that he's still at that level when it comes to being that type of coach. So they're not willing to say, all right, well,
because of age?
If Pod is an age, right? So it might be we're only going to have him for 4 years, or it might just be Pod in the fact that he hasn't been that successful in the past 4 years when you're talking about him as a coach other than Mac Jones' rookie year. So an owner might go, well, why do I want to bring in a 72 or 73-year-old man who's not as successful as he used to be and pay him a ton of money and give up all this power when I could go get a young up-and-coming guy who all he's going to do is be happy with coaching. He's going to be, for the most part, happy what we give him contract-wise, and he's not going to be asking for a bunch of power. We can then put a GM in a position where we want to have those two separately, and me as an owner.
They don't want the headache.
Yes.
Do you think the money was a factor?
It's always a factor. Right. I'm sure it's somewhat less expensive, but I would say it is the
power first.
It's power, and it goes back to the last. Remember when we were talking to Bill, or I was asking him about the salary cap last offseason?
Yeah.
And he cited that the Rams and the Bucks both went all in and were paying the price, and then both those teams made the playoffs. Like, the way in which he was so financially shrewd, the things he was best at, coaching. You can't coach anymore. There's no practices. Like, the things that he really was great at, figuring out the cap, and as an actual nuts and bolts coach, are not nearly as important, unfortunately, as they used to be.
We had talked off air, and I don't know if you guys had brought it up after I had left, but are the Patriots still on the line for paying him because he took a job in college?
It doesn't matter whether it's college or pro.
Okay.
They pay the difference. If he's under contract another year, anything different than $30 million. So the Rams will pay, I mean, the Tar Heels are paying him, say, $5 million or $10 million. So the Patriots would owe him $20
million. Okay.
Greg, this is along your wheelhouse. It's like my favorite movie of all time, Christmas movie. It's A Wonderful Life. He's like Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
No one likes him, wants to work with him. No one wants that headache no more. And he's an old guy who's set in his ways. That's owners don't want that. Courtney, you said it. They don't want that headache.
And it pains me to bring this up, but I said it to Ken, and I think it's the best way to look at this. We talk about Butler's interception as the most defining moment of the NFL history, whatever, and it could be. For the Patriots, it was Brady's win in his first year in Tampa, because Bill and Robert sided with Bill. Tom wins. Then that offseason, Robert's livid because he says, Bill told me he was done. They spend $250 million, and they draft Mac Jones, which begins the end of the unraveling in the relationship between Bill and Robert, which is why they are where they are today.
Yeah. It's just, you're right. It is one of the more shocking things that he will never coach in the NFL again.
Unbelievable.
I don't know that I believe it. All right. So anyway, to wrap the year up flex time-wise, I think some people have always felt like Scheim is going to end up being the leader in the clubhouse.
I take offense to that.
You've gone over everything.
Yep, I've gone over everything with Ken.
If you're watching the show on Twitch or you're watching it on YouTube, you'll be able to see this.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Wiggy.
Okay, we're starting with Wiggy.
So, Mitch, you can throw Wiggy up.
In 2024.
2024, Wiggy had 9 flex days.
Wiggy, less than 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right. He had
1 early leave.
That's pretty good.
Right. 0 7 a.m. arrivals. He had 3 dump outs. I will say, overall, Wiggy, down from last year.
Really?
Last year.
What's
well
the dump out?
If you swear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg. Okay. Go to our fearless leader. Flex days? 12. Last year, Greg stood at 20. Oh, come on.
All right.
What?
He showed some other
people. No, I didn't
say you had 24 flex days in 2023. 12 this year
look,
for Greg.
Shedding weight and flex days.
Cut them in half.
Look at that.
Cut them in half.
Even crazier.
Yeah.
0 7 a.m. arrivals.
Zero 7
early
a.m.
leaves.
Huh? How about that?
And you beat Wiggy 5 dump outs this
five
year.
5 times I had to be dumped out of.
Yep.
That's because Scheim is paranoid.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Let the people speak.
Yeah. We can go to
as
me
as long as
next.
It's within FCC regulations.
Wait a minute. I can't wait to
so
find
this,
out.
This is going from the bottom to the top?
No. Oh, I was just going through. You want me to go bottom to top?
No.
It's fine.
Okay. So we're going to go to me next.
Okay.
13 flex days. Too
that
early.
That seems low.
Yes.
Court days?
Yes.
Wow.
I had to add. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't add Friday because I sent this before. So 14. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm at 14.
Okay.
Wow.
14 flex days. This is real. This is what Ken had sent to me. 2 early leaves, 0 7 a.m. arrivals, 8 dump outs.
Holy cow.
Wow. Potty.
God, BC zone.
Yeah, really bad. It's not really swear words,
Jesuits.
Though. It's just these sexual innuendos that I don't know can't be said on air.
God doesn't like that.
Yes.
But again, down from last year.
Well done.
Good down
job.
From last year.
Well, that's because you had 30 last year.
No, you led the way with 24 last year. I think I was at 20.
Oh, Lord.
Curtis, up next. 11 flex time days.
Less than Greg, baby.
Not bad, Curtis.
Love it.
3 early leaves.
Yep.
0 7 a.m. arrivals.
All right. How many dumps?
2.
Right. Wow, that's look at that, good. Mom.
That is pretty not good. Bad.
11, good. Not bad.
And we end with Scheimer.
22.
12 flex days.
Yes!
So he and Greg are tied. He had 0 early leaves, 0 7 a.m. arrivals, and 0
all right,
dump
not
outs.
Bad. Not
now
bad.
I can show you the full station for flex days.
Oh, yes, let's do it.
Oh, yep. Boy.
Throw that on up, the WEEI 2024 flex days. At the bottom of the list, Andy Hart, only 7 in the last year. Billy Lanny, 8. Stiz, 8. Rich Keefe, 9. Wiggy, 9. Nick LePan, 9. Fitzy, 10. Curtis at 11. Scheim, Greg at 12. I should be at 14. Mego at 13. Adam Jones at 14. And Christian Arcan leads the way with 18.
18?
Wow.
That's a lot of time off.
That's a lot
flexes.
Of time.
That's like 4 weeks.
Well,
wow.
That's...
Well, you know, that's what it's there for.
Yeah. Right.
It's there to be used.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It
well,
is.
Good right. job, guys. We
all,
I think,
yeah.
I
no, all of us are down from last year.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yep. See, flex time works. Everybody just starts giving each other a hard time, and the company
really
wins.
I think that is why it works.
Shame.
People get unlimited time, and then they're right. afraid to take it.
I was saying to
Santo yesterday, I'm like,
shame.
I really hope nothing happens between now and Christmas break. And he's like, what? I'm like, I don't know, a death or something. And he said, why are you thinking like that? I said, I just don't want anybody mad at me.
Oh.
I get so nervous about it because
I need to look at these things because I don't think I was that high, but... I made sure
9 is very low.
I made sure I put my vacation in my notes just for this.
Why? What do you think you have?
I only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I want to know where the other 4 days were coming from.
That was Ken.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. Ken famously gave Wiggy a hard time for having a bereavement.
I gotta
leave.
Find.
Well, those are all counted.
Yeah.
All of those are counted.
Well, I gotta find out.
That is our show wrapped.
Good job, Courtney,
for the
Thank
year
you.
When it comes to flex time. Up next, Boomer Esiason on the New England Patriots and the rest of the NFL this week.